D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Broadcasting from Sunny Shore City, you're listening to The Underground Radio, bringing you all the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. This is Sam, and with me today are returning co-hosts and Pokemon professors Mitch Westrick.
Yo.
And David Reichenberg.
Hello.
For today's broadcast, we'll be filling you in on the latest Pokemon news, checking in with the Heart Home City branch for our Voltage Meter segment, having a roundtable discussion on the TCG in 2014 and 2015, and spotlighting the last of the Kalos starters. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotome what it wants. So guys, this is the 63rd episode of The Underground Radio, La Vie and TCG. I'm really glad that I could get you guys on here, that I could get both of you guys on here, because when it comes to the trading card game, you two are the people that I look to for advice on the trading card game. Also, Ben Nelson, but I couldn't quite get him on here. I'll have to get him on next time. For Pokemon Chatter, I mean, something that really affects all three of us here is that there's going to be a tournament on Thursday at our league where we'll be having one of the first of the monotype tournaments that we've had since last league season cycle, I think. It's been a very, very, very long time.
I think it was like October.
Yep. This one will be for the video game, and it'll be teams of four fire types. And the prize for participation is Magician Fennekin that I've been breeding just everywhere. And it's been interesting so far. I've been hatching a couple of them. There have been a majority of them being relatively superior. One of them was outstanding, and I think I'll give that to the first place winner. But no, it's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed breeding, especially because it's so easy to do to get those hidden abilities now. I love it so much.
Definitely convenient.
Yes, it is. Also, I researched a little on the websites for the people who ran the regionals tournament last year, and it's looking like the regionals in Madison, Wisconsin are going to be on the 12th and 13th of April. And we really need to talk about that with some of the other people who are interested in going, just so that we can get the plans written out for that, because regionals is amazing. I really enjoyed it. Nateel really enjoyed it. Mitch, you really enjoyed it.
And it was fun on a bun.
Right? And we actually had buns, so it was even better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to try to get to that, and if there are any listeners who will also be in attendance, be sure to find us there. But now really that those things are up and out of the way, what have you guys been up to for Pokemon stuff for the last week or so?
Well, I'll let Mr. David take this one first.
Alright. Well, I mean, for TCG stuff, I've been playing my Empoleon deck quite a bit, and just tweaking that ever so slightly, just to include various trainer card techs. I've been thinking about adding a couple tech evolution lines like Flareon and Leafeon, or maybe even Drifblim, because Plasma is seeing quite a bit of popularity in this area.
Oh yeah. Plasma is popular. That's a good way to put it.
It came back. It went away for a little bit, though.
It did. It went away for a lot of the water and grass decks that sort of started to pop up. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a thing. But what else have you been up to?
Well, this break, I've been catching up on the Pokemon anime. And it's been interesting.
Has it... I guess I haven't even watched the anime in a long, long time. Has it been a little better since the, what was the last one? Like, the Best Wishes, I think, was the last time that I watched any episodes in it?
I don't even know anymore. I mean, it definitely doesn't compare to the Diamond and Pearl seasons, the later Diamond and Pearl seasons, because those were excellent, and these are just kind of mediocre filler episodes.
Oh, okay.
But I'm leading up into the new X and Y series.
Very cool. Anything else you've been up to?
Oh, you know, I got Pokemon Conquest the other day.
You did get Pokemon Conquest.
Yeah, after a year or so of people saying how awesome it was, I got it, I binge-gamed, I finished it in a couple hours, and it was excellent.
Right? You know, there's also that document on the... I think it's on the League website, where it had the list of... the Pokemon that all the warlords, like, synchronized with and what percent that they did. So that's also a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Kevin and I did a lot of work on Conquest, and we've got teams that we can actually battle with. So if you wanted to do that, that would be really awesome.
That's pretty cool. I'm not sure if I'll do that, though. Like... it seemed overly complex in-game, just with the warlords and everything, but I was able to complete the first story mission with just my starter Pokemon, the Jigglypuff, and a couple other strong Pokemon that I acquired along the way.
I suppose that's fair. I don't know, I thought it was... I seriously took my time when it came to... Conquest. I went through and I managed to catch pretty much all of the Eevee for my warlord to evolve into the various forms of all the evolutions. So I've got quite a bit of, and I also went through and I found Pokemon that the warlords synced very well with. So I had a lot of options to work with, but it was also really exciting. I don't know. I like that I got to keep all the Pokemon that I synced up with, so I can kind of tailor my teams to suit my needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see the appeal in doing so.
Oh, yeah. So I know one thing that all three of us did here recently was on the 29th, we had a league challenge that went down, and it was mine here at Paradox. And, you know, Mitch and I, we were the default go-to tournament staff that were organizing it and making sure that everybody was following the rules, including shuffling well. And you were actually the winner of that this time around.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And
yeah, I won the third one.
It was pretty entertaining to watch you win there, because I think at first you didn't even think that you had won.
I've been out of the game for just a couple months, and since then, they've really started enforcing those newfangled rules.
All those rules getting in the way of everything.
So, I hadn't remembered that there was a tie system in the game.
No, it was pretty awesome. I was just like, well, the winner was David, and he was just like, I don't think so. I was like, yep, computer's telling me you're the winner, and I then all of a sudden light bulb tie system, and it was like that would be why. It was a pretty epic fight between you and Tanner that was going on for first and second.
Yeah, it was head and head the whole time.
Yep. I think I watched a good majority of it, but of course I had to be also walking around and checking everything out too, and I think Mitch felt the same way. It was just like, I really want to keep watching this, but I need to go and do other things.
Yeah, that's where the action was.
Yep. But Mitch, you recorded it all and posted it to our little organized play YouTube channel, though, right?
Yep, it is up on the YouTubes.
Yeah. So pretty much anyone can go see that one, and I really appreciate it that you created that YouTube channel for us, because that is pretty amazing to be able to go back and watch other people's battles.
Well, we have some pretty good matches every once in a while, and it's nice to have them to look back at and relive or hopefully learn something from.
Oh, yeah. And then you also produced for us, David, a new beta or alpha or gamma echo November system that we're going to be using for determining some important placings in the future. Would you like to tell us about that one?
Well, it was a collective idea. We all decided to give all the major players in the area five energy cards of the same type. So, like, I'm Lightning. Mitch, you're Psychic, right?
I suppose it is purple.
And then Sam, I believe you're Metal.
Nope, I'm actually fairy.
Do you have enough fairy energy? I mean, I don't. I have one.
I have 9,000.
Wow. Over 9,000 or just 9,000?
Well, I guess if you want to be technical, I have 9,001, so.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yep.
Well, how come I don't have any fairy energy on me? From you.
I'm
You
just
should have
that good.
9,000 at this point.
I have ninjas. I employ them.
Well, anyway, we have five energy to start out with, and we initiate what we call energy battles. So, whoever wins the energy battle gets one of the five energy cards from their opponent.
Okay.
So, at the end of everything, if someone loses all of their energy cards, they are out of the running, essentially. And we'll see who has the most energy cards at the end of it all, and that will be the determined winner.
Okay, and what's on the line for determined winners for this one?
This is the exciting part. This will be determining the Elite Four members of Pokemon League.
Wowee.
That's pretty awesome.
So it's a really cool system, and we started playtesting it on Thursday, and it seemed to go really well. Like every time you asked if someone wanted to have an energy battle, like a lot of nervous energy started happening, and that anxiety really fueled the passion within the game. And so that was really neat to see.
Well, a lot of nervous energy was incited in Ben. Ben had a
Yeah.
lot of nervous energy about it.
Ben's excitable, though.
He
Ben
does
actually
like
did
the
well,
excite.
though.
He did do well. He did very well. I think I did the worst out of the. How many are there doing the Romeo testing here? Is it
I think just five.
just five? Yeah, I think I've done the worst of the five so far by losing two of my matches, but no, I really appreciate the system. It's a much better way of dealing with it than I think the previous way we did it, which was to have just a card tournament, and it kind of lasted several days because there's just no way in league time that you can get, the think last time we had like 15 or so participants when we were back in our last big heyday of the TCG that were trying to battle it out and get this taken care of. And yeah, it's difficult to get through that much in that kind of time. So this is much better.
Well, we had proposed a different system, dealing with points gathered from like the league challenges, right?
Right.
So that could have worked, but this will be more fun, I think.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
So what about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
Well, I've been tweaking my Blastoise deck a little bit. Not running it with Beach is a fatal mistake in some people's opinions, but it can be done without it.
Absolutely.
And I've been getting it to go pretty well for me for the most part. Other than that, I guess I'm working on a no EX Drifblim deck, just because, you know, EXs are fun to not use once in a while.
Absolutely.
And I've wanted to use Drifblim for a while, because there's two of them, and they're both kind of turds, and they work
pretty
together
rad,
well.
Actually.
Yeah, it's a good kind of turds, not the bad kind. Other than that, I guess I've judged two of our three league challenges, played in one of them, and I've recorded a few matches and put them up on YouTube for viewing pleasure.
Very cool.
And I believe that channel name is ND Pop, as short for North Dakota Pokemon Organized Play.
I love how official we sound.
Oh yeah, very, very official.
Turns out, listeners, we are a big deal in North Dakota.
I think we're the only deal in North Dakota.
That's not the point, David. But yeah.
Other than that, I guess I've just been going to league.
Going to league is also an important thing. I'm very glad that...
I rather enjoy it.
I'm glad that David was able to come to league for this time here. I mean, we, due to all that school responsibility and stuff, wasn't able to show up very often, but he still showed up and we appreciated it, but now he's been able to show up a little more frequently and we really enjoy it, so.
Mm-hmm.
That grad school really takes up my time.
Oh, that grad school always getting in the way of the important things.
You chose to do it, so don't blame us.
I know, and it's the reason why I'm up here.
There you go. Well, I don't know. I've not been up to quite nearly as that much crazy stuff that you guys have been up to. I've been trying to patch together holes in my friend safari list for anybody who's listening. I do have a couple of Pokemon for Friend Safari that I'm really looking at to acquire. I'll be putting up a list of that on the Facebook group just so that it's easier for people to see that and figure out, you know, where the little spots are that I'm missing Pokemon in. Otherwise, I finally had my match against Ben, the owner of the Paradox League, with my Plasma deck. He's wanted to battle that deck for a very, very long time, and I finally got to have him battle it, which was pretty awesome. I also sleeved up a couple of new decks, including my new non-EX colorless deck, which is gonna be a little hilarious. I'd like to battle some people with it at League today.
Done.
Done. All right. And then I also have just one last little thing here, and it's not actually a little thing, it's a big thing. I found out that, you know, I didn't really think that the podcast really made too many waves outside of the Facebook group and through, you know, some of the people on, like, Striat and Radio, just to have people be aware of it. I thought it was mainly through word of mouth from listeners. But I also found out that we make a rather regular appearance on the podcast central column of a Pokemon forum called Pokemon Crossroads. And they recently had me feature on their like retweet or follow Friday. And they said, yeah, they're a regular appearance on our podcast column, and you should give these guys a listen. And I really appreciated that. I really did. I never really thought that anybody else out there would have put us up on their forums for anybody else to search for. And they have rather glowing words to say for us, too. So I appreciated it a lot.
That's really cool.
But yeah, otherwise, I don't have anything else to talk about for this week. So unless you guys had anything else to say.
That's it for me.
Nope, I'm good.
All right, then I think we will continue on into the news segment. And now we're coming over to the news desk here, and as always, we've got some underground announcements to go over first. Just as a reminder, we do have a comprehensive list of Friend Safari codes on our Facebook page that anyone can edit. So be sure to drop by, add your friend code, and add others to your friend list, or let other people know about this list so that they can add theirs in turn. Also, we say it every episode, but we really want to hear your bumpers and read your reviews on iTunes. If you send the bumpers to us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com or leave us a rating and review on the iTunes store for the podcast, we will include your review in a voltage meter segment, and we will put your bumper at the beginning of the episode because we like to hear back from you guys. Also, those reviews help the podcast grow, and let us hear your comments to let us know just how beautiful, tough, cool, cute, or smart you judge us all to be. And with that, we'll move into overworld news. It's kind of been a slow news time. First up, we have Mr. David Reichenberger to talk to us about the Pokemon Bank.
Well, sad to say, the Pokemon Bank is still delayed. And really, we are banking on that for the news. But we will keep you
So
informed on when a
David.
solid release date happens.
But no, that was awesome. And it's been only 9 days, as I was telling Mitch about this the other day. I think it's been 9 days, pretty sure. But it still feels like an eternity, but we will keep you informed on when the actual release happens. It's only a matter of time before they finish updating their they update their servers and make it so that everybody can get on there, so we'll be good to go. And I guess probably one of the big things for our international audiences is that residents of Hong Kong are just going crazy about the Nintendo of Hong Kong plans for the fourth 3DS party that they'll be having out there. This party will be taking place on January 18th and 19th at the MTR. I apologize to anybody who actually studies Chinese. I don't read Chinese well. So at the MTR Hung Hom Exit C lobby from 12:30 to 9:30 local time. Attendees will be able to play a variety of games there. Like, they'll be having contests for Monster Hunter and for Pokemon X and Y and just a variety of other things. And they'll have a series of challenges to participate in throughout the event, which I also thought was just fantastic. I mean, it's sounding like it would be like the pre-release that we had for X and Y, but on steroids for everything. And, one of the challenges, too, that I also thought would be really awesome to participate in was including the ability to challenge Nintendo staff members to a Pokemon battle.
That's cool.
That would be fun.
I want to know just how proficient these Nintendo staff members are in Pokemon battles.
They're probably terrible,
You know,
in all likelihood.
I would like to think that they would be really good, but I'll have to check to see if any posts any information on just how well these guys performed. But there is also a Sylveon distribution event that's going on live on location there as well, with this particular Sylveon knowing Baby Doll Eyes, Quick Attack, Draining Kiss, and Disarming Voice. It has the ability Cute Charm, and is holding the Weakness Policy held item. And for those of you who didn't know what the Weakness Policy held item was, I sure didn't. It's a item where if you're hit with a super effective attack, it gives you a one-time boost to your attack and special attack, raising it by 2 stages.
Not too shabby.
No, not at all. And I don't know, the Sylveon isn't necessarily, you know, like, I don't think any of the moves that it has on here are rare moves that it has, but, you know, just the fact that they're getting a Sylveon is pretty amazing. I know some people in Europe were very upset about not getting the Sylveon at all, but, you know, I guess that's just how it is. I mean, it's Hong Kong, so not quite Japan, but it's pretty close. And
just across the pond.
Just across the pond, exactly. It's not like, you know, hey, let's hold something in America. Everybody hop on a plane. Let's start flying for 20 hours. But
they have Pokemon planes. They could do that.
They could do that. Thank you. Yes.
I've seen them.
And, you know, the last thing that we have here is that the first Pokemon movie aired on Cartoon Network in remastered high definition, which is pretty amazing.
Well, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yep, it aired just yesterday. I don't know what their schedule will be like for re-airing the movie, but just the fact that they went through the trouble of digitally remastering the first Pokemon movie kind of gives me hope that they'll also do it for some of the older Pokemon movies also.
I remember seeing that movie in theaters.
Right?
Jeez.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, when's the last time you were that excited to go to a movie?
It's been a very
probably long. The movie after that one, Pokemon 2000.
That's fair.
Okay, I'll take it. Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly. All right, well, that's it for news here then, and we will now be moving into a segment that has been a very long time coming, but I'm no less just super excited to talk about, which is the voltage meter. And now it is time for us to head over to the judges to check out how we're doing on the voltage meter. It's been a very long time since we've had this particular segment, which we have to spotlight our listeners who leave us a rating and review on iTunes, no matter the star number and no matter what we've got to say here. The user that we have now is C West, who gave us 5 stars and entitled his review for us, A Pokemon Podcast Shell Smash Hit. He says, "Recently started listening to the show, and I must say I'm really digging it. I now look forward to every episode. My favorite thing about the show is that it talks a lot about competitive battling, and the hosts are actual Pokemon trainers because they breed their Pokemon, not RNG or hack them. If you like the TCG, they give updates about that and many other aspects related to Pokemon. All in all, a great listen." I am so glad that someone actually wrote in there that we're actual Pokemon trainers, because we breed our Pokemon, not RNG or hack them. That makes me so happy. Oh man, well, thank you very much, C West, for the rating and review here. We really appreciate it. And if anybody else has another rating and review that they would like to hear on the show, just head over to the iTunes store, find us in there at the Underground Radio, A Pokemon Podcast, and leave us a rating and review, and we will spotlight it on the next episode. welcome to the main topic, which for this week is going to be the Pokemon TCG in 2014 and 2015. And just gotta mention, the idea for this episode's main topic actually came courtesy of David, who mentioned, I think it was last week, that we were already halfway through the competitive season of 2014, and after talking it over with Josh, who was the co-host last week, I decided it would be really important to get the Pokemon trading card game in here as well, so that we can talk about it while the competitive season is still up and around. And we will also be talking a lot about the sets that have been releasing for the 2014 rotation and then for next year. And in that, we can't really talk about those without also talking about Legendary Treasures, which is a set that released sometime during our extended off-the-air time. And it's had a lot of reprints of older cards that we've had missing since the rotation in 2014, and we'll be mentioning that if the cards that we're talking about ever got reprinted, or if they were going to be something special to throw into decks, or just anything of that nature. And with me again here is Mr. Professor Mitch Westrick.
Still here.
And David Reichenberger, who is also a Pokemon professor and TCG aficionado.
Also still here.
And, you know, I figured a good way to start this out would be to talk about 2014, from which all sets of Black and White Next Destinies and up will be considered playable in tournaments. Since this newest rotation, we did lose a couple of things. With Legendary Treasures, we missed maybe a little less, but there have still been some things that we lost, and it had some decks change their strategies around, so that some decks lost a little popularity, some gained a little popularity, and really, for the first part here, I'd like to talk about which decks have been maybe the most prominent ones that have been coming out of this new rotation. So, David, since you are you were a phenomenal player when you were down in Texas, and you're still one of the players with whom many people have so much difficulty up here with your Empoleon deck. I was wondering if you could maybe give us a bit of a rundown on some of the decks that have been coming out, maybe taking the TCG world by storm.
Well, I must admit that I've been out of the game for a little bit, just with school and whatnot, so I haven't been keeping up as much as I would like. However, one deck that seems to be doing exceptionally well across the U.S. is a deck known as Yeti. So it's a silly name for a very cool deck. What it is Plasma Snorlax with Lugia. And and Thundurus. So it uses Thundurus to power up Lugia and Snorlax. And then you also have a Tech Genesect to attach Plasma Energy to catcher things to the front. And that deck has been doing well, apparently. And it's actually seen some play in North Dakota, which is when I was introduced to it. So I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I don't know of too many other decks that have come out. I know that Darkrai Garbodor is still popular in areas, and I think the TDK, that is Thundurus Deoxys Kyurem, is still played, but I can't be too certain of that.
I think I saw TDK used by, I think it was one of the decks that Tanner up in Grand Forks had, though I might be mistaken about that one. It was a while since I played his deck there, but I think he had one of those. I think one of the other people who kind of occasionally comes to the Paradox League does, but I think, Mitch, you also knew of somebody else who also ran TDK up here, is that right?
Well, sort of up here. Santiago III, he was using TDK. But he's not always up here, so that's why I say sort of up here.
I suppose. Though he is based in Kentucky right now, as part of the armed forces, but he has also had a lot of contact with a lot of people who are pretty big in the trading card game down there as well. So he's had a lot of experience with fighting some of these decks that have been coming out that have been interesting decks, to put it at that. I know that the Deaf and Dragonite deck apparently made a bit of a splash down there at his, I think he said it was at Cities from the last time I remember. So, and that's Deaf and Dragonite with Virizion to act as a shield against conditions, and then you just attach a plasma and a plasma or silver mirror to Dragonite and then just deafen repeatedly to make it impossible for the opponent to use items. And unless someone has a tool scrapper that they proactively use beforehand, it just shuts down plasma decks. They just can't do anything.
It's pretty sick once it gets up and running. But that's its biggest downfall, is that it's a stage 2, and it requires, I believe, 3 colorless energy in order to attack.
3 colorless energy, yep.
So, I mean, it can be difficult to get up. Also, it only does 60 damage, so it'll really struggle against non-plasma decks.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of plasma decks that have been popular. I mean, you said it yourself. Plasma is pretty insanely popular up here. I mean, I do run at least one plasma deck. The other one is kind of in pieces right now, but I hope to get it put back together eventually. And yeah, that Deaf and Dragonite would kind of steamroll me all over the place, because I just have no way to counter it. Mitch, have you been keeping up on any new decks that have been popping up here?
I don't think there's really been a whole lot of new things. Rather just some things falling in and out of popularity. It's not super competitive, as it most people wouldn't classify it as a tier 1 or even a tier 2 necessarily. But I think the newest deck we got would have been the round deck.
Dude, that's been around
EXs.
Since it was first released.
Well, yeah, but it's a lot better because of Meloetta.
Oh, right.
You can just drop that and add a lot more damage instead of having to evolve either Exploud or Seismitoad or Wigglytuff.
I totally run around deck. It's pretty amazing. I've had some people criticize it, though, because it's the Meloetta are, oh, how did he put it? They're catcher fodder. I mean, they are. I mean, they only have 110 HP, so there's, you know, you just warp, not warp point. I'm using the words that you use, David. I can't.
I'm so sorry.
I shouldn't do that.
I'm an old player.
They do the escape rope to bring it out there and knock it out, or they use Pokemon Catcher, bring it in, knock it out. And, you know, that can be a little debilitating. I mean, you're losing 2 prizes for each one that you lose, but like I was telling the person who mentioned that to me, who was Tanner, not running the Meloetta makes it that much harder to make that work in a deck, because I don't know, I really researched it beforehand to see what I would like before I built that deck, and I liked the Meloetta more than anything else in that deck.
Well, thankfully, with the catcher errata, we can play down the Meloettas relatively safely.
Now people can play down any of their bench support relatively safely without having to worry about, haha, Pokemon catcher, bring in your dead.
I mean, Darn. Really, you just have to be careful of Genesect.
Yeah, I suppose.
Not if you use Garbodor.
Not if you use Garbodor. That is absolutely correct.
Then you just get to do whatever you want. That's what that card means, right?
You practically win. Like, that's what it says on the card. You win.
Yep. You win. But no, I'm super thankful of the catcher errata, because when I was at regionals, that was pretty much what you had to run. I mean, every deck ran three or four Pokemon catchers. And that was, I mean, you were a fool if you didn't run any in your deck, which was me, because I didn't want to spend, you know, $25 for a single card. But
you fool, Sam. Now you can just buy them for 25 cents a piece.
But yeah, no, the catcher errata has been fantastic. It's let a lot of decks with first or second stage evolution cards that don't necessarily have the kind of HP that EX Pokemon have to build up. It lets you get more bench support out there. It's pretty fantastic. And then we also have some new procedural rules that have come out for the new rotation for determining opening turns, which I know David in particular has been having a little bit of issue with.
I struggle. Same thing with ties.
Same
it's also
thing with
new.
Ties. Mitch, you should tell us more about that, because you are the judging authority when it comes to any of my tournaments that I hold.
I suppose. Well, the way it worked before is you would all shake your hands, because that's super technical proper procedure, and then you would shuffle, draw, get set up and all that, and then determine who would go first by a coin flip. And now you do it all completely backwards, basically. You flip before you even shuffle, and you have to decide who goes first, ever knowing what you get. So that's kind of risky, you know? You gotta kind of play the odds of what you think your deck's gonna do, and hope it doesn't help your opponent if you pick wrong.
You basically base it off of what your deck does.
Yeah.
That is, if it's
you
want to
attack first,
yeah,
you want
to
go
rush
second.
Deck.
You know,
it's kind of goofy, but it is what it is.
I never really thought about it that way. That does make a whole lot more sense. If you don't want to attack first, you want to go first, and if you want to attack first, you go second. It's kind of a little counterintuitive, but when you sound it out in your head, it makes a whole lot more sense after that.
Mm-hmm. And it's mostly stage twos will want to go first so that they can get their evolutions out much faster.
Again, very good point there. I run a just stupid amount of decks that have stage 2 Pokemon. I really probably should look into more stage 1s or basics, but no.
It's a different experience.
It is. It really is. The new rules aside with this as well, which have also been... I don't know. I like the new rules a little because it adds a bit more of the random chance, you know, having to think more about what you're going to do before you even start the game sort of thing for it. I don't know, I kind of like that a little bit more. But the new rules aside, there have also been some new Pokemon that are going to be introduced rather shortly into this new rotation, which are going to be the Mega EX Pokemon. And those have been causing a bit of a stir, whether you really appreciate them or really hate them or are kind of just on the fence about them, really. I don't know. There have been some people I've talked to who have just been like, oh, Mega Pokemon EX. Yeah, I guess that's a thing. I guess I'll just lay down and stop playing the TCG at this point. But I think there are two of them that have been revealed so far, anyway, which would be Mega Venusaur and Blastoise. And I don't know if there have been any plans for more of them. I haven't heard anything.
I think there are plans for a Mega Charizard.
Now
but I could be wrong.
Since they kept Mewtwo EX in the rotation, do you think they're going to drop a Mega Mewtwo EX at some point?
I wouldn't be surprised, especially because there's two of them, and that would just make them oodles of money.
Oodles of money.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the Mega... I suppose if they also introduced Mega Charizard, they'd also have two of them there as well.
Even more of oodles of money.
Yes. Yes, it would. These new Mega Pokemon evolved from Pokemon EX, which has also caused some people to lose their minds a little about it. I know Mitch, when we were talking to Peter the other day, he was just like, "These cards evolve from Pokemon EX?" Yes. And
Yeah, he was not hyped. He kind of dropped out in the Heart Gold, Soul Silver era. Another night I was explaining to him that mechanically, as far as deck building goes, Pokemon EX with the lowercase EX and EX with a capital EX are functionally different. And he was just not hyped on that at all. He was having none of my crap.
but you know
All this newfangled stuff.
all this newfangled stuff, it is pretty intense. But you know, these new Mega Pokemon too, I mean, they do have 230 HP, which is an obscene amount of HP. You have to
30 more, or I'm sorry, 50 more than we've seen on any other EX.
So you need an attack.
Wailord EX had 200, David.
Okay.
Lord EX?
Capital EX.
Capital EX, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to specify.
Yeah, David.
Didn't think I would have to.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I'm an
But
old player, David.
as am I. What are you trying to say, Mitch? I'm just being a turd.
You know, these new EX Pokemon, though, they, even though they do have 230 HP, which, as David said, was 50 more than any other EX Pokemon we've ever had out there. They also, once you evolve them for your turn, it basically acts the same way as the Tropical Beach Stadium worked, where if once you evolve them, your turn is done. So, you know, while they're also really powerful cards, especially the Mega Venusaur EX, which is kind of disgusting with its auto poison, and I think it auto paralysis. Auto paralyzes as well, right?
Yes.
Yep, with that, I mean, that's pretty ridiculously powerful. You at least still have that one turn to figure out what you're going to send out to die before Mega Venusaur or Blastoise come out. they still only give two prizes for their defeat, though, which I thought was interesting. I don't know, I thought for sure they were going to offer three prizes for the knockout, but you know, this works as well.
Well, I mean, when their turn ends, it gives you an opportunity to get a major hit in, assuming that they're active. So that's nice. And
Yeah, I
plus,
suppose.
the two that have been revealed so far require an absurd amount of energy.
Think. Mitch, you were telling me that Mega Venusaur EX requires three grass and one colorless to use its attack, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's correct. I have it in front of me right now.
Oh, and how much energy does Mega Blastoise need?
Three
He
water.
needs
Yeah.
just straight three water, no other energy attached to him?
Nope, just water, I
Oh.
believe. Yes.
So you could theoretically,
He's good in a Blastoise deck.
More Blastoise.
More
He is
Blastoise.
all the
Blastoise.
Blastoise. Don't even, yeah, just Keldeo Blastoise. Just Blastoise everywhere. But, no, it would be. So you at least have that going for you, too. I mean, Blastoise does have a lot of energy acceleration potential, but he also is weak to grass, if I remember right. So he'd get laughed at by a Genesect deck. I mean, just, you know, red signal, switch him in, and then use whatever kind of attack you're going to use, and one hypnotoxic laser, and he's gonna go down. But
He actually only has 220 HP.
only 220?
Yeah, only 220.
Giant cape.
Giant
Giant
cape,
cape.
yes. Wait a second. No, yeah, giant cape does it. I was thinking of Eviolite, where it's only on basic Pokemon, but
Giant cape and Umbreon with plasma badge. He'll be a force.
he
Well, now
can't
you're
have the
cheating.
two on there at the same time, David.
He can if you tool scrapper one at a time.
Okay, fine, I guess. But yeah, no, the new Mega Pokemon, those are interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how they actually function. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a game changer, I guess. Mega Venusaur EX might be a game changer, just because, I mean, that auto paralysis is disgusting. It's like with the Articuno EX that came out where it was just like, yep, I'm gonna, use this attack and you're paralyzed. It's like, great, now what do I do? But
I could see Blastoise making more of a splash.
puns, I like them. But yeah, Blastoise, I thought his attack was kind of cool. He wasn't, I don't know, he's got the weakness thing going on for him that might be a little tougher to work around, but 150 damage and then 30 to 2 of the benched Pokemon, right?
I believe it's two. But
T
yeah, 30.
30 to 2
30
benched
snipe.
Pokemon. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. I mean, it wouldn't be awesome if you had a Pokemon like Mr. Mime on the opponent's bench, but in that situation, I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's tough.
I think a lot of decks have been dropping Mr. Mime
Really?
lately.
That's kind of surprising. I would have figured more decks would have run Mr. Mime.
It depends on the meta. Like, if there's a lot of Darkrai, then yeah, you're gonna run Mr. Mime. But otherwise, it's not really needed.
Yeah, that's true. Might change minds once Mega Blastoise comes out, though. That would be kind of disgusting to come across. It would be like the. Oh, which Pokemon was it? The Kyogre EX, which did 50 and then 50 to one of the benched Pokemon, if I remember right. That thing hurt a lot. But anyway, there have also been fairy type cards that have been releasing that have been also interesting to look at, I guess. I think they've only shown the Sylveon that we've had and the Xerneas EX, if I remember right. Maybe there have been more, I can't remember.
There are more. There are the Wigglytuff and the Granbull line,
They
and
did
then,
release those?
well, they're going to, yeah.
They will be.
They
Oh,
will
okay.
be. I'm sorry, are you talking current tense?
Yep, I was talking
Oh.
like actually seeing them released, but no,
Oh, my
that's really awesome
apologies.
that they have more of the cards coming out because I've wanted to see what a fairy type deck would look like. And since you guys have probably seen these cards, obviously more than I have, what do you think of the new cards that are coming out then for the fairy type?
They're so pink.
So pink.
Well, that yeah, that's true.
They are pink.
No, there's a Aromatisse, or however you say that one, Aromatisse, I don't know. It's got a very Virizion EX like effect where if you have a fairy energy attached, it special conditions don't do anything to you, basically. So it sounds like that's going to be getting some use.
Oh, I think that's the other fairy type Pokemon that you're thinking of.
Swirlix?
Uh,
I don't
yeah,
know.
that's Slurpuff, the cotton candy Pokemon that has that ability. Aromatisse or whatever has essentially Dark Trans, but for fairy type energy. So it's
Oh.
like a stage one Hydreigon.
That's kind of cool.
But for pink cards.
Where was it on the list here? I know that for sure there was a Pokemon EX in the form of Xerneas EX that was going to be released. I can't remember too much about him, though. Oh, there it is. It's got the Breakthrough attack, which does 30 damage to one of your opponent's benched Pokemon, one fairy and two colorless for that attack. Seems like a little less powerful of a Darkrai attack, but I guess it's something. Then he's got
I like them
X.
quite a bit.
Then he's got X Blast also, which does 140 damage, and Pokemon can't use X Blast on the next turn. So, combined with that, I mean, you for two turns you could do 200 damage, which is something. I guess 230. I mean, that would be a nice way to take out a Pokemon that could potentially Mega Evolve, and I mean that ends it pretty much right there. I mean, just break through once, do 60, and then 32 a Mega Venusaur or Mega Blastoise, and then, even if they evolve the next time, just X Blast. And then you do the remaining 140 that's going to, just X Blast and then break through again and just keep repeating it over and over and over. He's got 170 HP, which is pretty amazing.
And he's weak to metal.
And weak to metal. That's been a trait of a lot of the fairy type cards so far that I've seen, is that they're weak to metal and they resist dark.
Interesting.
Which I don't I appreciate it. I mean, there aren't many there aren't many metal type Pokemon cards out there that are going to be a genuine threat to these fairy type Pokemon. I mean, you really have the baby Kybalion, which has 120 HP and is relatively easy to knock out just because of the nature of the game right now. I mean, all you have to do is switch in something that does 120 HP or 120 damage or even like 100 and just hypnotoxic laser it and call it good. But you also have Kybalion EX, which has its big attack that doesn't even affect by weakness and resistance. So, I mean, you're protected there. I mean, it does a flat 100 and no other effects will touch its attack, but it's still only 100 damage, which is kind of sad that I'm saying. It's only 100 damage. Yeah, it's only half of the amount it'll take to knock out an EX Pokemon, but then it also, I mean, I guess maybe the bigger threat would be Registeel EX, but his triple laser attack isn't affected by weakness and resistance, and the Protect Charge requires a very large amount of energy to get on him to use. So, I don't know. I'd say fairy types are sitting pretty well so far. They certainly could have done worse by having a weakness to. Oh, what else are they weak to? They're weak to steel, and yeah, if they would have been weak to psychic, that would have been too easy. Too easy.
Are fairies weak to psychic
They're weak to
in the
poison.
game? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're weak to poison, and they don't have a separate poison type in the trading card game, so there's no way to really separate that out. So if they're going to go any route, making them weak to metal is probably the best way to go. Resistance to dark is kind of cool. I probably would have liked, and I know this is also another odd thing for me to be saying, I almost would have liked a resistance to dragon.
I was thinking, but I have no reason to think that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I really like the idea of the fairy type Pokemon so far. We're definitely going to have to check it out and see what cards they release in the following sets, because I think that would be really amazing to build a fairy type deck, just because I'm the only person I know who even runs a metal type deck. It's maybe a little self-serving, but yeah, I don't
You
care.
gotta take what you get.
It's true. Yeah, headbutt. Yeah, Granbull, headbutt, and double stomp. Flip two coins. The attack does 20 more damage for each heads. I don't know. I almost want to put the Granbull in there just to say that I have the Granbull in there. Of course, and then David's just like, if coin flips, so inconsistent.
I know. I
He
would say
would
that.
say that, but they've also had some new items and supporters that, well, I guess, can they really be called new supporters? Because, I mean,
No.
thank you, Mitch. I'm glad that you are here to answer that for me. But
Well, we are getting new supporters.
yes, but they don't do a different thing, though, David.
No, we have, I think, two supporters that do different things.
Doo-doo.
Doo-doo. I'm glad we are mature enough to, one, play Pokemon, and two, laugh at doo-doo.
Yep. Hey, you gotta take what you can get. So, But yeah, you should tell us about these new supporters then, David.
Which ones? The new ones or the new ones?
The new ones, apparently, okay. Since there are new ones.
Well, we have Team Flare Grunt, okay. Which is like Crushing Hammer, except you don't flip, so you just discard one energy attached to your opponent's active Pokemon.
And that's a supporter?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not the best use of a supporter, but whatever.
It's something.
And then we have another supporter called Cassius, which shuffles one of your Pokemon in play and all cards attached to it into your deck. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would take that.
It's a good way to get some damage off the board.
It
absolutely
is. But yeah, the two other supporters that we were talking about are Tierno and Professor Sycamore, which are basically the same functioning as Charon and Juniper of the Black and White series. Which, I don't know, I prefer Charon and Juniper. Well, I guess I could go with Sycamore. The only problem is that you can't mix them in a deck. Is another
Which
one of the rules
silly.
That they've had. You can't have two Junipers and two Sycamore. You have to have all of them Juniper or all of them Sycamore, or you've got an illegal deck.
They should have at least made it so that you cannot have more than four in combination.
More than four in combination? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd like to have a 2-2 split. That seems alright.
That would be pretty cool. I don't know. It is what it is. And then, I mean, they also introduced a new item, which I thought was really cool, the Evolution Soda. And that item allows you to search your deck for a Pokemon card that evolves from one of your Pokemon and attach it right to it, as if you were evolving that Pokemon, which is going to be pretty awesome for Stage 1 decks. And I know some people up here have already been talking about Stage 1 decks for X and Y, especially with that Phantump that was coming out, where you got to basically item lock out an opponent, again, just like Gothitelle, except in Stage 1 form as opposed to Stage 2 form.
Yeah, the Trevenant looks pretty cool.
Yeah, Trevenant, that's right. Yeah, that would be really awesome. I know Ben has been super excited about the Evolution Soda. Like, it has been his thing that he wants more than anything ever.
More than Articuno? More than Palkia EX?
No, he built that Palkia EX deck. He built it. He tried getting rid of one of his Palkia EXs, and then as a prize for participating and getting 7th place at my league challenge, I totally gave him one of the Palkia EXs from my own personal collection. So
that was very nice of you, Sam.
Right? I am just the picture of generosity.
Yeah. That's a word for it.
Yep, that's a word for it.
I think another word is turd, as Mitch would say.
Hey, you know, turd, yeah. Generous, you know, it's you take what you can get there. But no, he built one of those decks. At least he's been talking about it. He's like, yeah, I think I built a stupid Palkia EX deck. And it's like, good for you. You were fated to build that deck. And he was. He was fated to build that deck. He's been getting Palkia EX ever since Plasma Blast came out. So I'll have to battle his Palkia EX deck with my Dialga deck. I want to see how that works out.
It'll create a rift in time and space.
You say that like that's a bad thing. Rifts in time and space are the things that cause great works of science fiction to be written.
That's true.
See? Mitch agrees with me.
Well, if Mitch agrees, it must be right.
Yep, that's how
it
works.
It's a good premise to operate off of.
Yep.
I should follow that more often.
You should.
Been telling you that since you moved here.
He will take
I know.
Places.
I'm a slow learner.
Slowpoke.
Slowpoke.
I'm a slow bro, dude.
Not a slow king?
Whoa.
I don't want to be the king of slacking. Slow.
Why not? But Now that we've kind of covered 2014, 2015 is also going to be a pretty amazing year for the Pokemon competitive scene here, because we will be getting a new sanctionable format, which will be using cards from the sets of the Black and White series only, which is pretty amazing because they didn't give anybody anything like that for the 2013 rotation, where you could have done something with the Heart Gold Soul Silver series cards, which would have been pretty awesome too. I mean, I would have loved to have sanctioned a couple of tournaments that had just the Heart Gold Soul Silver cards. I know Natiel would have really appreciated that too, because she had a lot of cards from that series as well.
Well, Black and White had or saw an influx of players, and so a lot of those players did not have access to the Heart Gold Soul Silver cards. So it's best that they didn't do that format, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that's a good way to put it. But I didn't know that Black and White saw that much of an influx in players. I always kind of, from what I understood of the competitive game, there were a lot of players that were still in circulation when these older sets were coming out.
I mean, in my experience, so that could be flawed, but in my experience, I saw a huge increase in numbers at tournaments following a lot of the Black and White sets.
That is really interesting. But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to 2015 especially, because I know a lot of people have cards from Black and White, and pretty sure that a lot of them would be a little heartbroken if they couldn't use any of those Black and White cards anymore, or even from some of the older sets where we would definitely be losing things like the level balls and all those other things that really made a lot of those older decks work. And I don't know, I'm really looking forward to it, and it makes me happy that I'll at least be able to use some of the decks that I have in something other than Unlimited for at least another year.
Never hurts.
And some of the cards that, and this is another thing too, touching back on Legendary Treasures, in which we got a lot of stuff returned to us. There will be some cards that'll be making a bit of a comeback. I know that Pokemon Communication, which was a fantastic card, is going to be making its own comeback there. There was also the Shift Gear Kling Klang that I lost, which I was a little upset about, will also be coming back, as well as Dynamotor, which was the deck that everybody and all of their extended family and most of their extended family's extended family also ran. That'll also be making a comeback, which will be pretty awesome with some of the cards that are out there now from the Plasma sets. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens with 2015. Hopefully by 2015 we'll also see some more of the Mega EX Pokemon, and maybe we'll also be able to see some of the new basic or stage one or two Pokemon that will have just enough damage to be able to one-shot some of these big guys. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Mega Venusaur EX handles an attack from Reshiram.
Oh boy.
So we'll see. I don't know. It'll definitely be interesting. I really like talking about the trading card game on the show here because we don't do it nearly often enough. So I'll definitely have to have you guys on here at some point later on just to talk about the Mega EX Pokemon once they release. And Mitch also suggested too, at some point in the future, we're also going to talk about some of the hidden mechanics that are in the trading card game as well. And I thought about including that in today's show, but we figured it would be best for another time because some of these rulings that they have are very like arcane and mystical secrets that would take quite a bit of time to talk about. So, with that, I do believe we will end this main topic, which has lasted quite a long time, and we will move on to the Pokemon Spotlight.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
This week, yeah. Our Pokemon Spotlight will be covering number 656, Froakie.
Froakie is a blue quadrupedal Pokemon with frog-like traits. It evolves from Frogadier and Greninja at level 16 and 32.
They secrete clusters of flexible bubbles over their backs and chest that helps protect them from harm. And this is actually a reference to the foam nests that certain species of frogs create to protect their eggs.
Which is really cool, not gonna lie. Froakie is quite flexible and light on its feet, which makes it incredibly agile and capable of leaping to great heights, as keeping with its evolutionary line and the overall arcing theme that goes through with the Greninja, like, I don't know, mythos? I don't know if that's an appropriate word for it, but it's something.
And while appearing carefree, their demeanor hides the fact that they very intently keep an eye on their surroundings, quite like a Patrat.
And interestingly, Froakie is the smallest of the unevolved starter Pokemon, and arguably the cutest.
Arguably. I would probably go with Chespin, but I guess to each his own, Mr. Reichenberger there.
Team Froakie.
I'm a Froakster, I admit it.
There, at least you can admit it. That's the first step to, I don't know, something.
Recovery?
More like Froakie.
Then, you know, also, interestingly enough, Froakie is also able to learn pretty much every HM in his generation X and Y, except for HMO2, which is Fly, which would have probably just made me love Froakie right off the bat, right there. If he could fly, just done. This is, like, the master race Pokemon.
He's already so fly, though.
Yeah.
You want to speak up, Mitch? It sounds like you have a frog in your throat.
Oh, pardon me. David. Well, let's talk more about Froakie and let David take a break here at his puns. There are several ways to obtain a Froakie, whether obtained in the beginning of Pokemon X and Y as your starter or received after beating the game and choosing Chespin as your starter, or you can breed Frogadier if you happen to find one in the Friend Safari.
Just saying, Josh Massey does have a Friend Safari with Frogadier in it, and we also have his friend code on our list on the Facebook group, so if you're looking for a Frogadier, just swing on by there, add him into your friend code list, and give him a buzz. Let him know. And time once again for what is mine and Nateel's favorite segment of the show here, which is the question of the week. Our last week's question was, what Pokemon did you use for Display Pick December? The first response was from Justin V, who wrote, Quilladin! And I had to say it like that because there are 3 exclamation points behind it as opposed to just 1 or 2.
Robert H. said a Snorlax and Munchlax in a Studio Ghibli logo.
And then we have Neil Tracy, who had a Jirachi.
Very cool. Mr. Kent Johnson, a fantastic guy in his own right, wrote in Blastoise, which was no surprise.
Unsurprising.
Then, Mitch, which and one then, did you choose?
Well, I started with a Machamp, a rather mischievous-looking one, and then I was like, well, you know what, Alakazam's my favorite, so I picked a really super rad one where he's all kind of bony-looking, and he's melting his spoon with the psychic power, and it's really cool.
That is really cool.
Well, we also had Afton, who had a very natural Fufru display pick. And that had very cool minimalist art.
Awesome. Connor wrote in with Sableye.
And Adam had a two-parter here. Apparently he missed the memo on December display pick month. But he decided to go with 9.5 hours of Bulbasaur.
There you go.
A little late to the party, but he got in at the last minute.
And you know, that's the important thing.
Yep.
Well, we also had Darren, who, with also one day left in December, chose to have Hitmontop as his display pick.
Very cool. The other Sam chose Blastoise because Blastoise is Master Race.
I've also heard Wurmple is Master Race, but, I mean, who's to tell these days?
Right.
And then we had Kisuke say, as always and still, my current profile picture, an Emolga, with the laces headphones and a shiny Emolga sitting to the side.
Personally, I had a Skitty as my Twitter picture for a while.
Also shocking.
Shocking.
Shocking. It was so cute.
You and Skitty are like... Is Skitty your favorite Pokemon?
Actually, no. Animal. What's that?
It's a spirit animal.
Yes!
Pretty close, actually.
That mental image makes me happy.
You can see it in his face when he lights up with happiness.
Yep. All right. And that actually worked out really well. In our rotation here, Mitch and David were both able to answer their own responses to the question of the week, which was pretty amazing.
It was pretty cool.
And for this week's question, we have, what kind of deck would you run in the 2015 sanctionable black and white only format? And as we kind of noted there, we did get a lot back from the Legendary Treasures series, but for me, it would be the delicious, delicious return of Shift Gear Kling Klang. And I would probably run that deck with some non-EX Metal-type Pokemon that I've kind of wanted to run in there for a while, like the Probopass and maybe Steelix. I don't know why Steelix, just it might be really cool.
That could Steelix definitely be interesting. Cool.
So, Mitch, what would you run?
That's a tough one, because I think the only thing of great worth we lost was Dynamotor. And I'm just not a Dynamotor guy. So I'd probably just update some decks, putting in Pokemon Communication in them. Probably changing up the amounts of level, heavy, and Ultra Balls that I use accordingly.
That's cool.
So nothing new, really. Just tweaking.
Okay. And David. Now, Mitch and I were talking about this the other day, and we kind of had an idea of what you were going to choose, but you should tell us, too, which deck would you run in the new format?
Well, let's hear what you guys thought.
Okay, so...
Exactly what you picked.
To be fair, we both thought Dynamotor, but Mitch also thought that you would call it Eels, as opposed to Dynamotor.
That's true. I was playing Eels from its release to its rotation, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, when it first came out, the popular deck was Magnezone Eels, and it was commonly referred to as Eelzone, or I think Magna Eels or something. Anyway, Eelzone. I called it Eelzone, and then once I dropped the Magnezone, I just called it Eels.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It took me to Worlds, so I would like to show my appreciation for it by returning to it when it comes back.
Very cool. All right. So for those of you listening who would also like to answer this question of the week, which is, again, what kind of deck would you run in the 2015 sanctionable black and white only format? You can give us a response to that in one of several ways. You can either send the response to us over the Facebook group at the Underground Radio, a Pokemon podcast. You can send us, you can send the response to us in a tweet at Radio Rotome, which is the official Twitter account of the Underground Radio. Or you could also send your response to us in an email at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or a rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please send them with the nearest Delibird to our mailbag. Or you could just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. You can also follow our brand new Twitter account, at Radio Rotom.
We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join our discussions over at the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums and on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again next week when we'll bring back one of our very favorite episodes, Ivy Breeding with Ralts version 6.0. So until next time, PokeFans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nathiel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.
And now for your Pokemon Pro Tip of the Week. Just remember, Froakie's watching you like a Patrat. #ActualPokedex entries.